Good morning, Northern Michigan. Welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. Good morning, boys.
Good morning. And you notice Rich didn't get the pink shirt memo today, Jason.
No, I didn't.
This is salmon.
Salmon.
I caught it. It's a steelhead. I don't know what the hell you got wearing on.
You're wearing your wife's shirt there.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's got the Blarney Stone insignia on it.
That's right.
I like it.
Miguel Cabrera marching towards 500.
Yeah, 500 home runs. Yes. And he's got his average up to 200, which is good to see. You know,
People, you remember that a home run is a hit as well.
So. It is.
Yep.
It's a notch in both categories.
But he's getting occasionally getting those clutch hits. You know what I mean? Not all the time like he used to, but he is occasionally now one per game usually. And he went up the list in doubles. Now he surpassed, I think, Robin Yount. Like for 23rd or something in all-time doubles.
He used to be a doubles machine.
Absolutely.
Well,
right now he's a long singles machine.
Yeah. Yes, because he doesn't have the wheels to get to second.
That's all. I mean, more power to him. He's still hitting the ball okay. I don't know if he's going to get – do you think he's going to get either one of those milestones this year?
Well he's going to get the home runs.
You think?
I mean, what he said, he's at 489. He's got 11 to go.
11 to go.
Yeah, he'll get 11 home runs. As Sparky said, he'll run into 11. He's got 127 hits, something like that, to get to the 3,000 hit. It will be interesting, okay? So – how much is this doctoring the ball going to change the
enforcing gook in the ball that they're all using? If it's effective, but nobody knows whether it's going to be effective or not. You know, will the umpires really crack down like the baseball?
They're supposed to. They're supposed to check
eight to
the
ten
guys
times a game.
Yeah. As they're coming off the mound.
It'll be interesting to see how team ERAs
change. Make them pull
changed.
Off their glove to check the inside because you know that's one of the places that they put it.
Yeah.
What's the guy? What's his? Eddie Harris. From Major League.
Right.
Crisco and the Vagisil. You put snot on the ball?
Yeah.
Gaylord Perry. That's the best one ever when he kind of throws the file.
Oh yeah.
Takes
out.
I don't know where that came from.
Whoa. What are you talking about? And the camera catches him.
Days.
That was classic.
That was the best.
It was.
You know... And Garrett Cole looked like the deer in the headlights, but he made Josh Donaldson pay for it. Did you see that? So Josh Donaldson is the guy that called out Garrett Cole specifically.
Right. Yes, he did.
And so the Twins played the Yankees this week,
right.
And he struck out Donaldson all three at-bats on – like 10 pitches.
Really?
Yeah, with some very high cheese. 101. And then they asked Cola to get, what was that payback? He goes, payback for what?
I was pitching, damn it.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Yankees of Minnesota. You see what happened last night?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Aroldis Chapman comes in with it, who's just so dominant, the left-hander. And you got a two-run lead. Donaldson hits a two-run home run to tie it. A little while later,
Nelson Cruz.
Who hits a two-run home run to win it.
The oldest person to hit a walk-off home run ever in MLB.
The Tigers proved you cannot throw a ball fast enough to get it past Nelson Cruz.
No, exactly.
I mean, Verlander, he pounded Verlander's 99-mile-an-hour fastballs. So,
What did Satchel Paige always say? If a man can beat you, you walk him.
Well.
You walk him.
Yeah.
We've been talking about that
on this show for four years. Especially Nelson Cruz.
The Tigers win 2 out of 3. They should have won 3 out of 3.
That game,
Jack Flaley or whatever his name is, that pulled back a two-run homer, and then Badu missed a two-run homer by about 2.5 feet.
Yes.
One bad pitch, as you and I were talking about before you went on the air.
Yeah.
Casey Mize. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, is he pitching well, that kid. Whoa, is he pitching?
You just see all the talent on display now.
I wonder if our young pitchers are doctoring the ball.
I
Like I said, it's going to be interesting to see what changes take place now, you know, going forward.
Our pitchers never do all the other pitchers.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
But it's just, you know, that's an experience thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much doctoring of the ball they do in college. Every one of those pitchers are college pitchers. Mm-hmm. So, I just don't know. And our pitching coach is a college coach.
Exactly.
So I
understand that. But when you hear pitchers talk about it, the veteran pitchers talk about it. And
it's been handed down generations. Yeah.
And it's the art of pitching. And I hate to use that term, but it's handed down.
Drink. Here we go.
Yeah. It is. But
let's say Arsenal.
Yeah.
Buggy whip.
This team is still exciting to watch. I love how they're stealing bases. I love to watch a game with speed involved. It changes the dynamics of a game.
Still in the middle of the pack, it's stolen bases right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time that
stole
happened?
Third forever. The other night.
Yeah. No.
You know.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. No, I agree. We talked about it last week. Hinch is really doing some really cool things with this team.
Yes.
And Haas continues to rake.
Oh, is that a good story
yeah.
or not?
It's unbelievable.
That a great story?
You know, I'm surprised that he keeps putting Rodgers in there. I would ride then they put him in the outfield.
Yeah. And Rodgers has hit two home runs in the last 2 years. And he stole a base.
That mustache. You got to grow a Jake Rodgers mustache.
That Wyatt Earp. Wyatt,
the Wyatt Earp.
My next oldest brother's got a Wyatt Earp mustache.
Really?
And I'm like, how much you charge for that carnival ride you're sporting on your upper lip, dude?
I had a 70s mustache like everybody else did a long time ago.
I didn't. I've never had a mustache. It's always got some kind of chin hair going along with it. But, the Tigers, it'll be interesting to see what they're going to do against the White Sox. You know, the White Sox are clearly the class of the division, and they proved that in Chicago last weekend. We'll see if home cooking, can kind of turn it around and see if the Tigers can manage a split.
White Sox lost their second baseman. Torres' hamstring looks like he's done for the rest of the year. He was at Madrigal. He's a really good ball player.
Their pitching staff in Chicago is really, really good. They're the fourth best ERA in all of baseball at 3.24. And
Giolito goes tonight against
strikeouts for 9 innings, 10.4 innings, second in baseball. But yeah, we got Scooble against Giolito tonight. Giolito 5-5, but a 3.88 ERA.
Well, it's been going up. He's got beaten around the last few games. The Tigers hit him.
The last time they played.
Was that the game that they won?
That was
the one. The one out of the four games they won.
And I liked. I watched Tarek Skubal's starts closely. He's coming fast.
He's put a lot of those mistakes behind him.
Yep.
You know, some of it came from Hinch to keep bolstering his confidence, and Fraley keeps getting those scouting reports, and you know, just the things that they have done. You know, they have scouted and improved almost everybody's batting average.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the guys that they can't, they've been sending back down to Toledo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your buddy Jacoby Jones.
Yeah, that was a tough one to see, but if you can't hit, you can't play.
He's hitting 179.
Yeah.
I know
He plays, you know, runs like a deer in center field. I love the way he played center field, but you got to be able to hit the ball.
The Hill kid, before he got hurt, that kid, he could play defense.
Did they announce how long that's going to – It's the 10-day IL?
Yes, that's it, because they got the best news possible. It's the lowest grade sprain that you can have of that show. They expect him back in the 10 days.
So where are we sitting with Fulmer?
I don't know.
I haven't heard much about him.
They put him on the 10-day –
I haven't heard a word.
Hinch had said that, you know, they were going to give him a couple of days off because when guys make that transition, they hit a kind of a fatigue thing. And then when he was supposed to pitch that Sunday, he said he's got some shoulder tightness. So I haven't heard anything since then either. Good thing it's not a knee.
Right.
But I'm trying to remember in his other problem. He has had shoulder problems before, but he did have Tommy John as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully he comes back in 4 or 5 days and it is really just a rest thing. But, man, you know, you just mentioned the White Sox guy, the just more and more people across the league hitting the injured list. It's weird.
It is. It is. And the Tigers had a rash of injuries just the last couple of days. Derek Holland, Ronnie Garcia playing catch during warm-ups yesterday. Falls down because his knee buckled, and it looks bad. I mean, he's going to need surgery.
How do you do that?
Just
haven't you? I mean,
just step.
Jim Rome used to have this on his show all the time. The most bizarre injuries, and they all happen in baseball. Right. Like a pitcher fell asleep while he was icing his arm and got frostbite and missed 2 weeks. I mean,
Joel Zumaia's injury.
With the remote.
Yeah.
The remote.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a remote. He fell off the front end of his ATV.
We do know that baseball.
The cover stories are more interesting than the.
Just. Yeah. A guy went on the DL. He was putting on his shirt, and he caught his pinky inside the sleeve, bent it backwards.
Wasn't there somebody?
have another beer.
Wasn't there somebody that throwing a fish tore their arm up or something like that? Like in Seattle when they throw the fish and you catch it or something happened there. I believe there was a baseball injury related to that.
Yeah. So. They're not quite hockey players.
No.
How about that? The hockey so far, Keith.
Well, it's I've enjoyed the heck out of it from the first series all the way down. We're headed to the semifinals, down to four teams.
What are you going to do tomorrow? There's no hockey till Sunday.
I know it. None tonight, none tomorrow.
That's right.
Go through withdrawals a little bit, you know.
I'll be fishing.
Down to one game a night. But you know, a couple of really interesting series. I don't know how thrilling they will be. A dominant team, Tampa Bay, playing the New York Islanders. Everybody thought would, you know, pick them, you know, fourth out of the four teams that made the playoffs from that division. Suddenly they're there at the end. But the way Barry Trotz coaches that team, it's all about coaching. And I got to tell you, the way Peter DeBoer has coached
the Canadiens.
Peter DeBoer is the Vegas coach. They came back. The adjustments he made, what they did to put a blanket over that great line in Colorado against an upstart Montreal team that nobody expected to be there.
They have Carey Price.
That's it. That's right.
An expansion team like Vegas, has there been a team ever had success like this?
They've been in the league, the Blues went to the Stanley Cup,
but that whole league was expansion.
They were the best team in the other division, which were all new teams.
Yeah, no, I know.
So
yeah.
Scotty Bowman was coach, their coach again. You know,
and they got run out of the building by the
Boston
Bruins
and everybody else. What were we saying about?
Has there been an expansion team to have this kind of success?
Vegas has been in the league 4 years.
4 years.
They're in the semifinals the third time.
Unbelievable.
And they should have been in the second time. They got screwed by a really bad call in the San Jose series.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
They right now look like the best team, but you can't discount what Tampa Bay's defending champion. They have the best goaltender in the game. They have the best in Vasilevsky, the best defenseman in the game, Victor Hedman, and
The Islanders have had it pretty easy. The Penguins were not the Penguins that we are used to.
No, you're right.
And Boston's, it was so banged up on the defensive end.
Well, banged up, they lost Brandon Carlo, and I don't know what they were doing letting Torrey Krug go and not signing Zdeno Chara. You know, that's a huge part
literally
of defense. Literally and figuratively.
But, fall down.
Yeah. 6'8" guy running around skates.
We'll find out. You know what? The Tampa Bay exposes all your weaknesses.
Yeah, it does.
Especially defensively. Yeah. So we'll see if Barry Trotz has the magic juice to keep that series close.
They threw a blanket over that big line in Boston. I love. He's got 18 skaters going full blast for 40-second shifts at the most, and they're playing really, really hard. And you got two Russian goaltenders against one another in that series. And you got two French-Canadian goaltenders going in the other series.
I thought Price was American.
Price is from French Canada.
Is he? Okay.
Is he? Okay.
LaFleur. Not LaFleur. Fleury.
Marc-André Fleury.
Yes.
He's having a great series.
Yeah, he is having a good series. Man. The Well, it's still all up for grabs. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good to have a Canadian team in the semifinals.
It's been a long time.
It was
unavoidable.
Yeah. It was, and that's why they liked it up there.
Yeah,
they knew
I get
they were going to get a team to hunt in the Final Four. And we were talking off air earlier how this is a little bit remindful of the Montreal team in 93, the one coached by our pal Jacques Demers. Came out of nowhere.
Who'd they beat?
Who did they beat in the finals? They beat
the Kings.
They beat the Kings
with Gretzky.
LA Kings.
Barry Melrose. Barry Melrose claimed
the
fame. The Kings won the first game in a blowout.
Yeah.
And then the Canadians won the next four.
And the turning point in that series was Jacques Demers calling for an illegal stick check.
Yeah.
Remember they used to do that?
Right.
The blade. And the guy got busted for having an illegal
stick. Too much curve.
Too much curve. And Montreal
disallowed a goal.
Montreal scored in the power play. Never looked back. Won the rest of the way.
Crazy.
And
Melrose was fired a year later. Less than a year later.
Halfway
into the next year.
Yeah, he found his – he kind of talks himself out of the league. He did that. He was the coach in Tampa Bay
for nine days.
and lost that job, too.
I like him as an analyst.
No, he's and some people should be analysts.
Right, absolutely. You know, he's entertaining.
He's perfect in that job.
Yes, he is.
Perfect in that job.
That's the only time Gretzky ever lost to finals.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You like that moniker there?
I do remember Jacques Demers, at the winning coach, the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup. He's still on center ice, and somebody's interviewing him, and he's walking across the ice. And one of the first people he thanked was Mike and Marion Ilitch for giving him a chance to coach. Yeah.
He was illiterate, right?
Yes, he couldn't. Yeah.
Oh, read. Seriously? Yeah.
He wrote a book. He wanted to write a book.
He told somebody to write a book.
Right.
and admitted that he spent his whole life without able to read and write. And I remember he used to ask me to write things down for him and so on. Can you write this? Just so I say it right, you know?
So he could read, but he couldn't.
He could read a little. If he knew what it said, he could read.
He came from a very poor Providence in Canada. Yeah. And like you know, it's funny. We were talking. I ran into an old hockey dad, and we were talking about Mike Krushelinski. I told you his son played with my son Nick, and Krushelinski was not the brightest guy that ever lived because he dropped out of school in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
He was they're paying him to play hockey at age 13.
Right. Wow.
So you know And he admitted that, I'm not really that book smart. And he had trouble expressing himself. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, like, you'd be having a conversation and you use a word, and he's like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, just the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah,
I like
absolutely.
Krushelinski's
absolutely.
Great guy. And I'm not casting aspersions on it, but that has happened in that hockey culture a lot in Canada. These kids, their parents, like, they're farmers, they don't have any money, the kid's going to make $1,000 a week or whatever, and they go do it.
Some of these kids, I mean, we think of hockey as being kind of almost an upper class sport because it takes so much money to support a young athlete. Yeah. But these kids come out of the backwoods and the farms of Canada, and Randy Carlyle's another one. They used to carry their guns to school to shoot a rabbit on the way home so they can eat that.
Right. It's not surprising that Jacques Demers was illiterate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
There you go.
I liked Jacques a lot
as a
coach.
Never met a microphone he didn't like. He used to fill our notebooks up every day. He made me a lazy reporter. He was so good.
Well, he was fun.
Well, he was an – well, I hated George Perlis. But they had a little bit in common by mixing their metaphors.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh God.
Don't count the stew until it's cooked.
But every now and then Jacques would say something because of his French Canadian, one of the things is, ask him how they're going to win. We have to put fate in our young people. Talking about faith, but he used the word fate,
right.
And it's perfect.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There were a million of them like that.
Yeah. Coach Probert and those guys through those years
Katie barred the door. Remember that?
Yes.
Sean
Burr
used to tell me you screw these things up. Chuck says you guys better tighten up on defense. We let one more goal in. It's going to be Kitty by the barn door.
Kenny. All right, we've got a break here, and then when we return, we'll have the great George Blaha joining us here on Finding our Friday Faceoff to talk about the Pistons season. We're excited to get his insight, and I'm sure Keith will prod him a little bit about Michigan State football. That's all here next on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey.
Welcome back to Friday Faceoff. Rich Calkins, Keith Gave, JC here. JC trying to get George on the phone right now, Keith.
I can't wait to if we can get a hold of George to ask him about the Paul Bunyan Trophy. We have that trophy in East Lansing, and I'd like to keep it there. That goes to the winner of the Michigan State game. Michigan State had a pretty tough football season first year under Coach Mel Tucker, but they rode home in a bus with that beautiful little trophy of Paul Bunyan.
That wooden trophy, that has spent actually quite a bit of time in East Lansing in the last 10, 12 years,
yes,
Keith.
Yes, it has. You know, it's June, approaching middle of June. We got NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, baseball season going on. It's kind of fun to talk a little bit of college football, though.
Oh, sure.
You know, it's
well, what about the expansion to 12 teams?
That's exactly right. Major changes
that. The committee's going to consider it. I can't see them doing that. Can you?
Oh, yeah.
You can. Oh. 12 teams?
Yeah. Oh, they look at that bad boy as a cash cow.
It would be, for sure.
It's not only that. The problem is if they expand it one more level, then you're still going to run into these cases where if Cincinnati wins their conference versus, you know, a 10-1 Miami, University of Miami team or whatever.
Right.
With 12, you've got all your bases covered. Every Power 5 conference winner will get in. And then and they've got at-larges. And,
yes.
You know,
Boise State.
Yeah, if you're going to expand it, you should really expand it. The four teams will get byes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what I would find the most interesting thing to look at is how they're going to do that with the bowl games.
Yeah.
You know, because right now they remove, you know, the two games from that bowl lineup, which really hamstrings New Year's Day, right?
Yes.
And New Year's Day is not nearly what it used to be.
Right.
My football orgy. So I don't know what that effect.
Right.
And those guys, you know, that have the really big tier bowl games, that's a lot of money.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
And you know how exciting it is during the NC2A basketball tournament when a much lower seed beats one of the big dogs. Can you imagine if that, and it happens less often in football, but still, if something like that, if an Alabama were to get knocked off or something.
That's why I like an
expanded. The interest.
Because
we
get the same teams there year in and year out. It's kind of, you know, Ohio State, Alabama,
and Clemson.
And who, Georgia?
Pick your fourth,
Texas or somebody like that. I'd love to see it expand a little bit. And frankly, if we could get a few of those upsets, you know, those smaller teams would say, hey, we've been telling you all along we could compete here. It's about damn time we got a chance.
Right. I like that. Keith, I do too. I absolutely love it when, you know, the underdog comes in and is able to come in and upset one of the big dogs. I think it draws more eyes to
Boise State had a big win in a bowl game over a great big team.
I guess with the Statue of Liberty play.
Yes, was that a great
game? The guy
proposed to the cheerleader and they got, yes, absolutely.
Oh, that was,
Boise State did that twice.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
So, I think it's better for the game. I'll tell you what else makes it better for the game. It's going to make recruiting a little bit more fair. Because now these kids that go to Cincinnati or go to Coastal Carolina, or they're like, I think it'll loosen Alabama and LSU's grip a little bit. I can play. Maybe me and a couple guys can get into the playoffs at a school like Michigan. Put them on the map.
Right. No, but the Boise States, the different teams like that that we've been talking about, Jason, absolutely, it allows for that excitement level with that fan base and the players with the recruitment then, they have an opportunity now to showcase their skills.
I think that's a great point by JC.
Yes.
It should open up the recruitment a lot, yeah. I would think, giving those other schools a chance to get some of the top-tier players. So many top-tier players go to places like Alabama and can't play.
Oh,
they can't get on the field.
How often?
When they had the 100 scholarships.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Five-star guys will sit for two years. Those offensive linemen, a lot of times, you won't see them for 2 years at Alabama.
Right.
They'll play 1 year, be an All-American, and then they're a top 20 draft pick.
Right.
Because they are so much depth there with those five-star guys.
I know.
Live in northern Michigan, not all bad.
No, not at all. We're happy to have you on. You know, we've kind of kept our piston talk to the minimum. I know, you know, I tried to get a hold of you a couple weeks ago, and just had to be one of the most exciting piston seasons that you and Special K have had to watch in quite a while.
You know, it's amazing what we saw this year. Normally, when a team is a near the bottom finisher in the NBA, it's difficult at times anyway to get through the season. But as broadcasters, but this season, they were in most every game. The young players continued to improve, and frankly, the future looks bright. There's no question about it. Pistons are going to be much better next year. My guess is they'll be in the postseason next year.
Wow.
So we won't have quite as much summertime to mess around with in northern Michigan next year. But the bottom line is Troy Weaver has done an unbelievable job. I think he's about 10 for 10.
Yeah.
It's so hard to be 500 as a general manager, much less he's got a better than Ty Cobb batting average, fellas.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, George, Rich Calkins here. And what I really like watching all those Piston games, George, is the energy level that these teams played with every single night.
Yeah, Rich, you're absolutely correct. And you can credit that to Dwayne Casey. We were talking the other day about the best coaches the Pistons have ever had. And, of course, you got to start with Chuck Daly and Larry Brown and Rick Carlisle. But when you put somebody else on that list, you'd have a hard time ignoring Dwayne Casey. He's done everything they've asked him to do. They wanted to get back in the playoffs when they hired him. He did that, and then they decided they were going to retool, restore, or whatever. And he has coached these kids hard every night. What he says is, you can't ever lose a game on purpose. You can't get that stench out of your locker room. He coaches whoever he has on his squad that night and coaches them hard down to the final seconds. And because of that, these young guys they've all bought in. They're pumped to be in the NBA, and they do play very, very hard.
He's especially good with young players, isn't he, George? Developing young players. He did that in Toronto. He's doing it here in Detroit.
Exactly. And, you know, if you're Dwayne Casey, you didn't necessarily always have a great hand dealt to you. I don't think they were fair to him in Minnesota, and in Toronto, in the end,
no.
They went in a different direction in the closing seconds of what was going to be a championship team. But Dwayne Casey just shows up, does his job every day, and is very, very professional about it. And I think he enjoys working with young players, and they enjoy working with him. And I want to say one more thing. The fact that we didn't get much of a chance to interface with Dwayne this year because of all the COVID restrictions hasn't changed the fact that once in a while we text back and forth, and I think he's a great guy and a heck of a basketball coach.
He's an 88-pounder. They're shelling us, George.
Right.
Camp Grayling's got shooting off the 88s. The thing that I was most impressed with is the true love this team had for each other. You know, guys getting knocked to the floor and guys running off the bench to pick them up and everything else. I don't think I've seen that in the NBA in a long time. Like, all 12 guys really liked each other a ton.
And you can look probably at both Dwayne Casey and Troy Weaver, and for that matter, at Ed Stefanski, who is a senior advisor in basketball, been around the NBA a long time, and give them a wave for this, because they put together a roster full of eager, dedicated young guys, and they topped it off with a couple of ads. And you got to give Dwayne Casey credit for this one. He wanted Mason Plumlee as his center, and I think most people thought, why Mason Plumlee? He's a career backup. He did start some games in his rookie year, but why Mason Plumlee? Well, we found out why. He's great around the basket. He's an excellent passer, and he's better than a backup on maybe one-third of the teams in the NBA. So, and he's not 35 years old either. He still has some future in front of him. So he's one of the guys that was a big team guy. But there are a number of guys on this squad who've all bought in. And what I want to say one other thing. I believe sometimes when you watch an NBA team that's near the bottom and they'd almost rather lose than win, you see when we played Oklahoma City, maybe in March, they probably had five or six guys in the rotation that were really G League players. And no disrespect to those guys. It's hard to make any professional team, G League included. And someday maybe they will be NBA players. But when I look at this Piston team, every guy that played this year really is an NBA player. They may not be in the rotation on every NBA team, and certainly wouldn't be in the rotation on a contending team necessarily. But these aren't guys that are going to be bouncing back and forth to the G League in the next few years. These are all legitimate NBA players. We've got some decisions to make with these young guys.
Yeah, you do.
How many guys do you keep? How many guys do you move on from? Because they can all play.
George, you made a good point about Troy Weaver being maybe 10 for 10 on his player moves. He just made another hire recently, bringing John Boeheim into his team as an advisor. How do you see Boeheim fitting in with his team? He's a teacher, too.
I think John Boeheim was a great hire.
Mm-hmm.
He has been in a number of games. You know, we broadcast the games. We did broadcast the games this season from a suite near the owner's suite at Little Caesars Arena, and the basketball department for the Pistons has a suite on one side, and John Boeheim was there a lot, watching the games, and he was probably giving them some advice during the year before he was even hired. But the guy's a basketball lifer, and he is a teacher. That's a good point, and a great human being. John Boeheim will help this organization immensely. And when you want an advisor, you want somebody who really knows the game. And the best thing about John Boeheim is he's always had shooters. He values shooters. And three-point-oriented NBA, you need shooters. Maybe we can get Duncan Robinson over here. How about that? He brings a Division III kid to Michigan. And eventually, he's a starter on a team that plays in the NBA Finals. So John Boeheim knows talent, and he knows how to coach him up.
You saw your buddy Ben Wallace and going to go into the Basketball Hall of Fame, George, and I know that made your day when you heard that news. How many parallels do you see between him and Isaiah Stewart?
That's a good question. First of all, kudos to Ben, first undrafted player ever to make the Hall of Fame. And, the mantra for that group was hard work pays off, and no greater example than Ben. He deserves all the accolades he gets. Nobody worked harder to get to the NBA and then to get to a championship level as a competitor and then as a Hall of Famer. He deserves it. But I do think Isaiah Stewart respects what Ben accomplished He also talked about Dennis Rodman, for that matter. You know, defensive-oriented guys. But Isaiah Stewart, like those two guys, will bang with anybody. You know, he won't back down. He kind of ignores who they are. And if they don't know who he is, they'll find out shortly. if you play against Isaiah Stewart, you know you better be prepared and you better pack a lunch. This guy, he'll get his money's worth each and every night. And he's getting better offensively, as we know. They wanted to shoot a few extra threes, and there were times when it looked ugly. But for the most part, he showed that he can score from out there. And he could be a future power forward in this league. I think he could move to that spot and really do a job. But no matter where he plays, he's going to play hard, and he's going to hurt you when he's on the court.
So the Pistons, what's the worst pick they can get is sixth? Anywhere from one to six. So, George, if you've got the number one pick in the draft and you're Troy Weaver, are you taking Cunningham or Suggs?
Well, I think there are other people that are involved in the conversation, and I think that's a very fair question, putting Cunningham and Suggs there, but I don't think you can ignore Jalen Green, who is a off guard who can do a lot of things, and including score, of course. If you can't score at that position, then you shouldn't be playing that position. But there, and Evan Mobley as a center. I don't know if Pistons need a center, but do you have to have an upgrade right away on Plumlee, or can you wait and look around and maybe in fact go in a different direction? I think the top four guys are the top four guys. I'd be shocked if Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Jalen Green, and Evan Mobley aren't the first four guys chosen, unless somebody's making a deal of some kind that involves current NBA players.
Yeah, you know,
so
I
don't forget about Jalen Green. That's my answer.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he did well in the CBA this year.
No, I know.
He can shoot the lights out, George. And both Jerry and I, we're kind of fans of Cade Cunningham. We like his size, his ability. And a lot of times now in the NBA, you see teams starting two-point guards. You know, it's not uncommon if we, you know, the kid we drafted this year and got hurt with the hip. And then
Killian Hayes.
Yeah, Killian Hayes. And then all of a sudden, but he showed flashes of what he's all about as well this year, George.
Yeah, they're point guard isn't the same position that it used to be, but there are still some classic point guards who are important to their teams. For instance, Mike Conley, who has missed the first two games of that Utah series, and they still won them because Donovan Mitchell has been all world in the Clippers series so far. But I think when push comes to shove, you've got to have a floor general out there. How much he passes and how much he scores depends upon his game and what your coach and your organization thinks you need from him. But anybody who can get other players involved and score himself is a major plus, especially if he has size. I think Cade Cunningham will be the first pick in the draft, but I think those other guys are right on his tail, including the center, the shooting guard, and then and Jalen Suggs. Yeah.
George, I know we don't want to keep you, so I got two quick questions for you. Is do you see the Nets as the clear-cut favorite now in to win the NBA championship?
Well, I would if James Harden hadn't gotten dinged up. Clearly, I thought for much of the season, James Harden was playing the best basketball of anybody in the league. He concentrated even more on passing the ball and still scored whatever he wanted to or needed to. You know, they only have two out of three now of their big three. Bruce Brown, the ex-Piston, has helped him as a utility kind of guy. And they got Joe Harris, the shooter. And they got Blake Griffin, who seems to be born again a little bit in Brooklyn.
I think he wants a ring.
Probably they're the favorite. But I thought, you know, somebody asked me in December, I think, or early January, who I thought would be in the finals. And I said, probably Philadelphia and Utah. And I don't know if you can count Philadelphia out. And then out west, not only is Utah playing well, but the Phoenix Suns, those first two games were at home in their series with Denver, but they've been playing lights out basketball too. So I think it's going to be exciting to see what happens in the next few weeks or next month or so to see who wins this NBA championship. But I agree with you. It's hard to bet against Brooklyn right now.
Hey, George, one quick question about Michigan State football, which is coming fast.
We got the
Paul Bunyan Trophy in East Lansing. Can we keep it there? What do you see with this Michigan State football team coming up?
Well, what I see is I see a lot of Nick Saban and Mel Tucker, and I know that when you talk about Nick Saban, you're talking about probably the best college football coach of all time. But, you know, I was with Nick when he first came to Michigan State, did his radio show, his TV show with him, broadcast all his games. Saw what he envisioned for the program. And, you know, had he been able to see eye to eye with the president at the time, who knows, Michigan State might be sitting where Alabama is. But the point is, if you have a guy who has a real vision and an obvious workable vision for where he wants his team to be, and I see that in Mel Tucker, who is a real football guy, that I think you've got a chance for big things to happen. He's well paid, so he's not going to get away anytime soon. And I think he likes where he is. So the main reason I like Michigan State now and in the future is Mel Tucker. I don't think they could have made a better hire. And he's done a great job. He walked in there, didn't even know any of these players. Got him through the season, won in Ann Arbor. You're right, so he got the Paul Bunyan Trophy on the bus and took it back to East Lansing. That's a great picture, by the way. Most people have seen it. Now he's looked at his entire roster. Some kids knew they weren't going to play. They transferred out. Guys are transferred in. They'll never use the portal as much as they did this off season. But, man, as he restocked that roster, they're going to be way better, in my opinion, than people think they're going to be.
Great.
They've got a great upgrade at running back. They're, I think, in good shape at quarterback. Their offensive line, the horse kid from Arkansas State, looks like he's good enough to play left tackle. And if you're good enough to play left tackle in the Big Ten, you're good enough. Mm-hmm. So, and they brought in the a couple of linebackers, one from Tennessee and one from Minnesota, who are legitimate football players. And they've got, you know, the transfer from Duke playing defensive end. So on and on it goes. This is going to be a well-stocked roster and a well-coached team. So they'll be fun to watch.
George, thanks so much for taking time out with us. We will see you next month at the on the banks of the Isabo River for the canoe marathon. We can't wait.
Yeah, I think it's awesome for Grayling and for Northern Michigan that the canoe race is back on. And, you know, the kind of weekends and weeks that people look forward to up here needed to be restored. And I'm glad we've got Alpenfest coming up in Gaylord and the great Isabo River Canoe Marathon in Grayling. So we're due to have some fun, fellas. Look forward to seeing you there.
Amen, George.
Thanks, thank you, George. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Friday Face-Off, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on WGRY. Guys, we got the lowdown on the NBA playoffs from George Blaha, so you should be in Hoops Heaven, ready to lay some money down on the Nets, or more likely the better payoff is going to be the Suns. But lots of exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level.
That's right, because new and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. New users get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win.
Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same game parlay risk-free every week. That means you can combine multiple bets for an even bigger win. So many NBA market options like player point totals, rebounds, over and under, and more. It's a chance to make a small bet and win big. And if you don't win, you'll get back. You'll get up to $10 back. Now's the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with the promo code WGRY to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free exclusively on the FanDuel Sports app.
That's right, and listen to JC's Bet of the Day.
There we go.
We're 23-9, guys, in the last 3 weeks. 21-0 over present in Michigan. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only and refund issued as a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund is $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook-fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gaming problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. George ate up a little bit of our time, guys. I know we did want to touch on the Bo Schembechler Dr. Robert Anderson problem that has been bubbling along for a while now. And they had a big press conference yesterday with Matt Schembechler.
And some of his former
players. Two former players.
Yeah. Right.
Matt, just to be clear, Matt is the adopted son of Bo Schembechler, who has had legal battles with the estate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And as I told both Keith and Rich, I know Matt. Matt lived with on the same floor as I did at Western Michigan. He was a football player at the Western Michigan University and roomed with a close friend of mine from Brother Rice. And, you know, even back then, Matt had a very contentious relationship mm-hmm. with Bo. Their father, their original father, died. Millie met yeah. Bo and got married. I think Matt was 7 when that all happened. And I know he said in the press conference, Rich, that, you know, he was molested by Dr. Anderson at age 10.
Yes.
Told Bo. Bo said, I don't want to hear this, and punched him.
In the chest, yeah.
In the chest. But he also told Millie was there, too. I know how much Bo Schembechler loved Millie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of this story is not hard to swallow. I don't want to take that. I don't want to take away any of the things that the people that have been molested. But yes. Rich and I have the same idea about some guy, a bespectacled doctor, sexually abusing college football. I mean, if he's doing that to me, and I'm 17, 18, 19 years old, he's on the floor. I don't understand how you know hundreds of athletes were sexually abused by this guy. It just doesn't seem physically possible.
I was in the Metro Detroit area yesterday listening to 97.1 The Ticket. Of course, they have John Jansen on their ex-Michigan football
yeah.
player, All-American, great player. Doug Karch on their Michigan guy, all that stuff. And they were some of the stuff they were talking about is that also it was that Millie Schembechler went to Don Canham, who
yes.
was the AD at that point,
yeah.
and told him about what happened to her son Matt, and Don Canham said he would take care of it.
He
fired Anderson. Dr. Anderson and all of that, and then Bo found out and he insisted on him hiring him back. This is what they were talking about
okay.
on the radio yesterday.
Well, Jansen would have a better insight certainly than I do.
John didn't say that, but he was on the radio at the time when they were talking. One of the other guys was saying this, but that is what was said on 97.1.
These are college athletes. They're in scholarship. Athletes do what their coaches and administrators tell them to do. I don't have a problem with big, strong offensive linemen, defensive linemen, whatever, going along with apparently this is the physical I'm supposed to get. Seems kind of weird, and that's what they complained about, to call him Dr. Fingers and, you know, and so on.
Just to me, it looks a hell of a lot easier for the doctor to be Nasser, to be abusing female gymnasts.
I get that.
Yeah,
I get
okay. that. That's all I'm saying.
But we're talking about scores of football players, and some players from other sports as well, but mostly football players.
Yeah. Right.
So what do you do? I mean, already the Free Press is saying take down the statue. What do you?
I don't. We don't have the time to discuss it. I'm sorry.
It's a developing story.
It's a developing story. You know, Bo is beloved.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure Michigan is going to not rush to judgment and yank down the Bo Schembechler statue like they did for Paterno, and then ended up with eggs on their face at Penn State. So that's the statue's not coming down tomorrow.
You know what they did with the Paterno statue, by the way?
They put it back up.
No.
I thought they did.
No. They melted it down. And they used the bronze, whatever, to put up a sign for the Rodney A. Erickson Food Science Building. Rodney A. Erickson was an outgoing president. One of the last moves that he made was to put his name up in bronze on that building from the Paterno statue.
Is that right? Right.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, when we return here on Friday Face-Off, we'll have James Cook from the Record Eagle Sports Department talking about what's going on locally. This is all brought to us by our good friends at Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. And joining us, as usual, during our weekly segment is James Cook from the Record Eagle Sports Department. James, you guys had a super busy week last week.
Yeah. It's, the spring playoffs are jam-packed with a lot of stuff in a short period of time, so it always keeps us on our toes.
Yeah, for sure. You guys were down at the state championship track meets, James, and we had some winners here in northern Michigan.
Oh, quite a few. Hunter Jones and Julia Flynn from Hunter Jones from Bedsy Central and Julia Flynn from Traverse City Central were kind of the ones that people expected. But Petoskey winning the state title was also a big deal. Not that they weren't expected to do well, but I don't know if anybody expected them to pull off the actual state championship.
Yeah, for sure. That was an amazing feat in itself. And there's not only that, there are a lot of other kids that did very well. You also had two of the kids in for the interview during your podcast last week.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we've had a couple of kids from St. Francis on one of the relay teams. They won a state championship. We had Leah Dozma won the discus state title from Traverse City Central. Emma Squires from Petoskey did exceptionally well. Just a lot of state winners. To go over all of them would probably take up all of our time.
Where are we at in baseball?
We're at the regionals. The regional finals will be played tomorrow. We've got from our coverage area, from the Record Eagle, which is about 40 or so schools. We've got four teams left in the baseball regionals. Traverse City St. Francis is playing tomorrow morning in East Jordan. Miesic is playing in Clare. Glen Lake and Gaylord St. Mary are both in the regional at Pelston.
Matt Nowicki.
And then they'll play the quarterfinals later that day.
Sheriff Nowicki is, all those original guys are off that team, but they still continue to play good baseball at St. Mary's.
Yeah, I don't really want to say that they're one of the surprises, but because, they've been here at this point for a long, long time, so it shouldn't come as a surprise. But yeah, like you said, that core of guys that they had coming through that were all the same grade, they're gone now. So they've replaced them with another core, and they're right back there. In softball, we've got eight teams left that are playing tomorrow. But softball is essentially a round behind baseball because of the pitching counts and stuff. With baseball, they play one game during the week.
Right.
So a bunch of our teams got eliminated on Wednesday, and had some interesting things around here because of the weather on Wednesday night, some of the thunderstorms and stuff. I went to cover Bedsy Central's regional game, and that game ended up being played in two different cities because of the storm completely messed up the field in Manton, so they had to move the game to Cadillac about an hour later.
Really?
After getting
How
one.
About that?
I've never heard of that before. That's, good
for
them.
They wanted to get the game in so that the pitchers could keep their pitch counts and still be able to pitch on Saturday for whichever team won. And, Miesic had kind of the same thing, but they weren't able to play the game on Wednesday night or find another venue that they could move the game to. So they ended up playing their game on Thursday, on yesterday. So they ended up using three pitchers and keeping them all under 50 innings or 50 pitches so that they could all pitch on Saturday in the regional finals.
Hmm. Yeah, is that Gaylord girls softball team still going, James?
Oh yeah. They play in the Division II regional at Cadillac. They play Escanaba at noon, which is a clash between the number 2 and 7 ranked teams in the state. And then we've got Traverse City West, Kalkaska, Charlevoix, St. Francis, Central Lake,
wow.
Music, and Lake Leonoff, St. Mary are all still going in softball. And then Boyne City Soccer, they're the last area soccer team going. They play tonight against Big Rapids. Those are both top 10 ranked teams, and they're going for their 20th shutout of the season. They're 4-0 in the playoffs and haven't given up a goal in the playoffs yet, including two games against top 10 teams.
That's impressive.
So their defense is pretty stellar.
No doubt. Well, we can't wait to check in with you next week, James, and see who, if any of our local teams are hoisting trophies after a just an intense spring season of sports. Just great to see the kids back at it. Without restrictions.
Yes.
All right. We will see you in the funny papers.
Thanks, James.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Do you know anything about what is this a UFC fight? I want to hear you announce these guys' names, Keith.
Saturday night is fight night, featuring the can't miss rematch between Israel Adesanya and Marvin Vittori.
All right,
at UFC 263, and FanDuel is giving you 30-1 odds on either fighter to win the main event. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet.
Yeah, that's not bad there, Keith. You can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook app using the promo code WGRY and get it on this incredible action. Then just sit back, watch the fist fly as Adesanya and Vittori
On Saturday, June 12th.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's
a rematch. It's the second fight. It is.
Yeah.
FanDuel is my go-to for all sports bets, guys.
You know that by now.
Well, actually, I do go to Odawa as well. But when we're doing, when we've got the sports bet action, the best thing is your phone is in your hand. It's during in-game stuff, which is where if you're picking up on that game, then you can find the trends.
Yeah.
It's safe, it's easy to use, and you can get paid in as little as 24 hours. Don't forget, you can only get this offer on FanDuel Sportsbook app. So download it today and sign up using the promo code WGRY so they know we sent you there. Again, that's promo code WGRY. 21 and over and present in Michigan. New user only, must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit is required. $150 is the max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Gentlemen, anything else to add on a busy day of sports?
A busy day, full show, and we covered a lot. It was great to talk to George about both the Pistons and the Michigan. Thanks to him for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely, Keith, JC, just a packed show, and looking forward to next Friday.
We'll be here. Again, thanks to our good friends at Odawa Casino in Petoskey, Mackinac City, for the great dining, the great gaming, and the sportsbooks action, because what better things to do than enjoy sports and have some dollars riding. We'll be back with you here next week on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio. And don't forget, this is your home for all Tiger baseball action.